And have a good time with the Lord. Woo! Oh, come on. Who is ready to worship and have a good time? Yeah. I'm so excited to have you guys here. I'm excited to worship Jesus with you guys. So if you, without further ado, will stand and get ready to get your party on.
Thank you. who the Son sets free is free indeed.
Hallelujah!
No matter what the enemy says to your brain, no matter what the circumstances shows in your life, no matter what, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. So turn around to that enemy. Turn around to that circumstance. You tell them, go back to hell where you belong, because I'm a child of God. Yes, I am.
Yes.
So in the Old Testament, when Moses had to go, it was Moses, right? I'm sorry, my brain's not functioning. Went to go set the slaves free. And Pharaoh said, who are you speaking for? And he said, I am. We as Christians and we as people, God's children, when we introduce ourselves, we say, I am Vicky. I am Michelle. I am Zeke. I am Mike. We have God's name in us from birth, because he is the I am, and we say I am, and our names honor him. Who we are honors him.
The sun sets free. Oh, it's free.
Who your mom says you are, not who your dad says you are, not who your brother, your sister, not who that teacher at school says you were, not who you say you are. You are who he says you are. You are a child of God. You belong in his house. In his house. There is a room prepared for you in his house.
God, I am.
this next song. If you feel like you need to come up for prayer while we're singing this blessing, this song is God's blessing over you guys and over us. And if you want to come to the altar and you want prayer, come forward. Let people here pray for you and just love on you.
Lord, bless you and keep you. together, and there was this elderly couple sitting behind us. And I was listening to this man speak to this lady, and he says, I want to visit a church that when I walk through those doors, I see the Holy Spirit as thick as the smoke from an incense. And I can feel it. I can see it. Do you not feel it? You can feel it in the room. My hands are shaking. My body's shaking. You can feel him. He's here. His presence is upon you.
And within you. And beside you. And all around you.
And amen.
Hallelujah.
And amen does not mean the end. Amen means sealed. He has sealed you in his promise.
I would call upon your name. Psalms 116, verse 8 says, God has rescued my soul from death's fear and dried my eyes of many tears. He's kept my feet firmly on his path and strengthened me so that I may please him and walk before Yahweh in his fields of life. Even when it seems I'm surrounded by many liars and my own fears, and though I'm hurting in my suffering and trauma, I still stay faithful to God and speak words of faith. Jesus, we thank you. We thank you that even when life looks like it's winning, when our struggles looks like it's winning, when our pain looks like it's winning, God, that you are the ultimate winner. Lord, that you finished it 2,000 years ago on the cross. And right now in Jesus' name, sickness, depression, trauma, mindsets all have to bow at your name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And because we're your children, we are heirs to the throne, and we get to walk in freedom. We get to walk in authority. We get to walk in this place in peace and leave with peace. And we get to bring peace into our homes. We get to bring peace into our workplaces, into our schools, into our grocery stores, into the post office, into the mall. We get to bring peace into the city of Yakima, Washington. Jesus, we thank you. We thank you because you won, we win. That there is no competition, that you have no rival. It's not you against the enemy, because he does not even compare. He does not even compare. So we thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus.
Don't carry it.
Yes.
Come on. You all know how to let it go. You all know how to get it out. Yeah, nobody's new to that. Everybody knows how to dig deep down and let it all out. Don't carry it. It's not yours. Let it go. Let it go and let God.
Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus. Oh, how great to trust you, Lord. Jesus, 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 oh, how great to trust you, Lord.
So this last song, this is really hard to share. That song has a pretty special and heavy place in my heart. My mom passed away, geez, like 7 years ago, roughly. And I'll never forget driving to the hospital. She had cancer and she was having a surgery. And I'll never forget listening to this song. And just really wanted to put all my faith in everything into my mom's healing. And every time since I've heard this song, that hurt comes back. I can remember where we were driving through Portland to the hospital that dark and early morning. And today, I don't know, God is tugging on my heart and showing me, like, he's brought me to another place just today in hearing that song. That same sadness, that same heartbreak is no longer the same today. And that doesn't mean the love for my mom or missing her is any less or any different. It's my trust and my hope in God that has changed, you know, that we call and we ask for him to be more in our lives and replace that hurt with him and increase our trust to be more in Him and to not be so focused on the hurt and the disappointment. There has been times where I feel like my faith has been just rocked by this, and it hasn't been the same. But that's where we grow. You know, the words say, I don't remember, but the Spirit lead us to where our feet have never wandered, and to grow our faith and to just ask for increase from God and get our eyes off of our situation and off of my hurt and my sadness and my sorrow. Because I know my mom is in heaven. I know she is with Jesus. She is. It's a selfish love that I had for my mom and of wanting her here. But I was just amazed back there, just as the song started, it wasn't the same feelings as before. And it was just a shocking, like, wow, God, you are faithful. It may not happen quick because it was a long time ago. It's like 7 years ago now, and I don't know, I just encourage everybody, you know, I know, so happy to see Shell and Ashlyn here, and I don't think what's happened today is a coincidence. I think there's, you know, power in the words of our testimony. You know, when you suffer a great loss, I can't imagine, you know, what you guys are going through. But just know God is a big and loving God, and He hasn't forgot you guys. He has special things in place for you. He wants to fill those gaps in your hearts, in your house. Just call on Him and be faithful and seek Him and be honest with Him, because He knows your heart. He knows how much you're hurting, and you can talk to Him. He's a big God that can, they can go and move through and pass all of that. And anybody else that's lost loved ones, it's, you know, it's super hard, but God is good. He is faithful. We don't understand what He's doing. We don't know how, you know, this is going to be worked for our good. But maybe in our faith will grow, and our faith will go somewhere different. You know, He has big things in store for each and every one of us. So I just felt my heart just pounding to come up and share. I didn't know what it was going to look like or what it was going to come out as, but I know that familiar feeling of God wanting to move and speak through each one of us. So it's not easy, but I don't like crying, and I don't, especially in front of people. So here I am. You know, thank you, Lord. Hey, Malachi. Malachi. Go ahead.
You can do it, bud.
Say it.
We think.
Go ahead, son. It's okay. You can be brave.
It changes my voice.
Be brave, yeah. It talks. It makes you louder. It makes you louder.
Oh. Be brave. My goodness.
Go ahead and say it, son.
I don't know what to say right now.
Thank you.
Thank you.
But we love God so much.
Amen. Amen.
So he said, I love God so much. Now let me just tell you, that little boy, that's how we should be. We should be wanting to tell about Jesus like that. Yeah. He really wanted the microphone, but his heart was, I want to talk about Jesus too, because that's what my dad is doing. We have to become like little children to enter the kingdom of heaven. Let your heart be that way today.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, worship team. Amazing, amazing. I don't know These are the hardest moments to transition from. So we're going to stay in the presence. Amen. Right? We're still worshiping. We're still worshipers. You're going to be? Okay. So I'm going to pass it off to Matt in a second. He's going to pray for our city and our government. Before I do that, want to remind you that if you'd like to give, we have our offering box over here, as well as you can go onto our website, onelifefamilyworship.org. And there's a link there, donations. You can go to the PayPal, and that would be amazing. As well, wanted to announce, well, there's that, onelifefamilyworship.org or OLFW.net. That's really hard to say. It is. Yeah. As well as we wanted to announce something that fun we're doing. We'll put that aside. We're going to do a barbecue on the 23rd of May. Directly following service here, over across the way on the porch outside. This is something fun that we used to do, and I don't know the last time you guys have done anything. It's been a long time, right? So as you guys know, we've been gone for a while, but I remember this was one of the most fun things about being a part of this church is the community. And it actually hurt us as we left because we were expecting everybody to do church the way we did church here. And then we went other places and we're like, oh, like this is this close-knit thing that we have here isn't everywhere. And so this is going to be really fun. So the 23rd, please put it in your calendars. Following service, Pastor Mike's going to be doing some pulled pork or something like that. Pulled pork and brisket. It's going to be amazing. Everyone's invited. Bring friends, bring family.
Yes, all food needs to be sealed.
Yes, exactly. So if you're going to bring something, it has to be sealed. So there's more store-bought stuff. We're just trying to keep, be smart and single serve. Yeah, right. And we'll give out more details of that. If you have questions, you can come ask Pastor Mike. But make sure you mark your calendars for that because that's going to be really fun. So, Matt?
Thank you. On this barbecue, I'll tell you this, when you got mentioned it, I'm so excited. I haven't been with the church, you know, but a year or so, and COVID hit, so we haven't really had any gatherings. It's been, last year, I think it was, Zeke did a barbecue for the men's group, and that was such a good time, and it really let me get to know the guys in that, and so I'm really excited about this barbecue. Super excited. And changing notes real quick, a couple weeks ago we had a windstorm, and the pastor asked me to help him with his roof because it blew shingles off, and I'm up there working with Pastor Mike and looking at this roof and how bad a shape it's in, and he's been telling me that it's been quite a few years he's been patching it up. Every time the wind blows, he blows shingles off it. And I started thinking about it and praying on it, and I was talking to Myla about it, and we decided that I measured the roof and I put together what it's going to cost for material, and I'm willing to donate 100% of labor, and anybody that wants to help would be great, but we formed a GoFundMe page. We're looking to raise $4,000 to give back to Pastor Mike and Gaylean. They've done so much for us in this community. It's really, really heavy on me that I would like to do this. And anybody that would like to donate or like information on it, you can contact myself or Myla, and we will give you the information to the GoFundMe page. We are looking for $4,000 to raise, and we will provide food for anybody that wants to come out and work. But just be clear, lunchtime is not quitting time. Okay? We would love, you know, anything. And even if it's, you know, we can only afford to do one section at a time, whatever it takes. And so with that, I would like to pray for our community, Yakima, and our government. And I asked our Lord Father, we come to you today and we lift up Yakima. And we ask for you to bless this community. Give us peace and harmony. Give us a safe place that we can raise our friends and our children, yeah, our family. Let us walk down the streets and be confident and feel safe. Yeah. We ask for you to give peace to all those in need and give me the strength to not shy away and not be afraid of those looking in need. You know, I don't need to go up and give them cash, but maybe just sit down and talk to them. Give them a hug if need be. And we asked for prayer for our government, to give our government local and throughout the country the wisdom, the courage, and the strength to not only help us a small select few, but to help everybody. And to bring our nation and our community together as one. And we've asked this in your great name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Yeah, it definitely has been a while since I've done a big pulled pork. So I've been smoking now for, not smoking, but smoking meat, let's put it that way, now for quite a few years. And so I've had several people say, I've got it down. And so you will not be disappointed. I do want to have you invite family and friends that Sunday. And if they just want to come just to the barbecue, that's fine. They don't have to come to church. But just let them know that there's going to be a great meal and that, you know, people are going to be there that are going to be friendly, you know, and not look at them cross-eyed like they walked into Costco without a mask or something, you know. We're going to receive them with love. So I've got to try that one of these days, see what Costco does. Like. So I was at a dinner on Friday evening, and I was sitting with someone, and they're a pastor, and they've been a pastor for a long time. And he was telling me, you know, about what it's been like, you know, trying to, you know, have church and do church, and you know, buildings closed. And he was, you know, saying, you know, with COVID, it's just been, it hasn't, you know, hasn't been normal. It just hasn't been normal. And I was listening to him, and immediately this came out of me. I mean, I didn't like, you know, what am I going to say? Immediately this came out of me. I said, you were made, we were made for this not normal. This is the kind of person that we're to be, that, you know, we're not to just be in with the crowd and sit there and have our needs met by the government and you know, being just sequestered at home and hiding out. And even if we are at home, we're not just to be staying there and not doing anything. We're nothing else to be praying or asking God for, you know, him to touch our city or ask him to touch us so that we change. I mean, it's not that we're not in a not normal time. We are. I'm not trying to say by any means that, you know, these are, you know, things are going to just get better and everything's going to be fantastic, because I really don't think that's going to happen right away. I think there's difficulties. I mean, you continually see them. There's mindsets out there that are totally anti-God. There's mindsets that are totally anti-Christ. There's mindsets that are totally anti-family. There's now mindsets that are totally anti-church gatherings. I was just telling someone that today in Alberta, when a pastor is getting ready to start his service, that government officials from Canada now have a warrant, and if he doesn't allow them to come in the building, they can arrest him and then check and see what everybody's doing in the building. Now, I don't think we're that kind of crazy government here yet, but I wouldn't have thought Canada was going to be doing that. Anybody else? You know, and of course, this is one of the provinces, this is Alberta, but I'm just telling you, you know, we do live in unusual times. But above and beyond all that, we were made for these times. So when I said that, I go to Gay. I go, you know, I think I have the message for Sunday. And by the way, why am I sharing again? And Pastor Gay isn't sitting beside me, and we're tag teaming it. Well, after I shared last Sunday, Gay was listening online, and she came to me and she says, "Oh, we got to talk." I said, "What?" I thought, "Oh my gosh, I must have just, you know, committed a heresy or something when I was sharing." And she goes, "No. It was so good. It was like you were just able to just share." And I said, "But I like you being there." And so this is a little bit of a testimony. I need to hear this message because years ago, I would share like this. And as a matter of fact, I would get up like at 3:30 in the morning, like I did this morning. And I would let the Lord, sometimes I wouldn't have anything when I would start my morning. And yet the Lord would just download this into me. And anybody that knows me, I'm a person of few words, you know, unless I have to share, because I'd like to get concise and to the point. And so the fact that I could just go like for an hour and it was just like just flowing was just a miracle. And the Lord kept giving me more and more crazier stuff. I mean, he's like downloading these things to me. I wasn't like going out to the internet and finding sermons. I mean, it was like, and a lot of it is still what you hear from me, but, you know, I've put it in a perspective that most people can understand. You know, I would say things that sometimes, you know, shocked people. And so what ended up happening is that because of the shock of people, it started causing me to shrink back from being so open to letting the Lord speak through me. So today is a day that I have to remind myself I was made for this not normal. That this message is for me as well for all of you and those listening. Because we are in a day when we need to be that light shining in darkness. And we need to be the salt of the earth. We need to be the voice of reason, the voice of truth. You know, because when truth comes out and it's communicated and people understand it and receive it, we believe from the word that that's where freedom comes from. Freedom doesn't come from lies and deception, and that just is more bondage. People need freedom today. We all need freedom. We need freedom from the pains and hurts of the past, just like David was sharing. You know, and sometimes it does take time. Sometimes it's immediate. God does a supernatural miracle. But it's a miracle nonetheless that he totally restores our heart and allows that pain that we went through to be a blessing for others. So with that said, I asked myself this question. Okay, so you've got a title. So where are you going to go with this? So I said, okay, let's ask the question. Why were we made for this not normal? So I came up with three things. Why can I say you were made for this day of the not normal? So one is because we were chosen for this time. It is no accident that we are here in this day and time. It's no accident. Number two is because we have been chosen by God to be in Christ in this day and time. So it's not that we're just in this time, but we have been chosen by God to be in Christ, in the Messiah, in the Anointed One, in this time. And then because we have been given the tools to be equipped for this day and time. So it's not just that we're chosen to be here now, and it's not that we're just chosen to be in Christ, but we've been given everything that we need to be in Christ to be in this time. So today, all I'm going to probably be addressing is point one. So a three-part sermon. Okay, so because we were chosen for this time, it's no accident that we are here in this day and time. It's not an accident. Some people say, well, Pastor, I was an accident. No, you weren't an accident. No one's an accident. It's God's choice that we are here. It's God's choice that we get to experience this experience of life. It's not our choice. Just like it's not our choice that we get saved. What did Jesus say? I didn't choose you. I mean, you didn't choose me. I chose you. But I was the one that, you know, came to the altar. Yeah, but God was the one drawing you. God was the one putting in your heart the ability to say, I want to repent. God was the one convicting you. we have to realize that we have very little to do with our own salvation. That's good news because it means we have very little to do with things that we have to fully equip ourselves for. I mean, you don't have to go to 4 years of seminary or 2 years of nighttime classes, you know, in some church to be equipped to be ready to minister. All you have to do is receive Christ and you're equipped. If you start walking out in faith, you're equipped because the Spirit is going to follow behind you as you move out in what He wants you to do. Amen. So let's start with the timing of all of this. So in Ecclesiastes 3, 1, 11, and then 15, and 15 is kind of a radical one, but I included it. It says, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. I was talking to Josh Crofton last night, and I was telling him, you know, I was going to be sharing this message, and I gave him a couple verses. He says, oh yeah, there's a time for and season for everything. Ah, you just gave me another verse. And so this is the first one I wanted to start with because it says everything. There's a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. So right there, it's letting us know that there's timing in heaven. There's timing of things. It says about Jesus, in the fullness of time he came. You know, he didn't come 2,000 years before. He didn't come 2,000 years later. He didn't come 100 years before. He didn't come 100 years later. He came at the perfect time when the stage was set because all of the actors were in place. All of the world's system was created the way it needed to be for him to arrive. Then in verse 11, it says, he's made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity into man's hearts. Yet so, he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. I was thinking about that there's an eternity like heartbeat in all of us. That we know that, you know, people say, oh, I don't want to die. It's because they know that when that heart stops, it's not that life ends. Now, they may think that life ends, but they know that there's an eternity waiting for them. Yeah. Even the people say, I don't believe in God. I don't believe there's an afterlife. Their heartbeat tells them different. Yeah. That's why you get people in the hospital who are getting close to death. All of a sudden, everything else that they've been interested in grows strangely dim. And they're just like, oh, okay, so I'm about to die. I need to get my things in order. Now, there are some that, you know, are shaking their fists at God all the way to the grave. But most people, when they come to that time of life, start really evaluating what that heart's telling them. And it's telling them there's an eternity waiting for them. Then it says that, yet so that he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. So what that's basically saying is, even though we know that there's an eternity, none of us really know what God's up to. I mean, we know parts and pieces, but nobody has the divine counsel of God. He's got something really big going on. And it's not just about our 80, 100, however many years we live here. And it's not just about that we're going to go live in an afterlife. He's got something planned for eternity for us that we can't see. You know, it's like the dad who's building something in the garage and he won't let the kids go in there. You know, even though they're living in the house and they're hanging out, they're having dinner and stuff. No, you can't go in the garage, you know, because he's making something. God's got that in store for us. You think we've got it figured out just because, you know, we can read the book of Revelations or other things that kind of talk about, you know, what heaven's going to be like, the tree of life and the water and, you know, and the marvelous city. I don't even understand all of that. But, I mean, we look at that and say, well, that's what it's going to be like. Oh, we haven't got a clue. You know, even though he puts in our heart that it's going to be amazing and we try to grasp it in our minds, it says the mind of man cannot conceive this. So that's what the author is saying here, Solomon. Then verse 15 says this, that which is already has been. So that which is, so in other words, that which has been already has been though. I know it's kind of a twister. That which is to be already has been. So not just that which is already has been, but that which is going to happen has already happened. Now, how does that happen? That's because the mind of God, the heart of God, the plans of God, the books of God are written. We have a life to live for God, and he's seen it. Now, I don't believe he's like scripted every moment so that, you know, we decide, oh, okay, I'm going to go to work for this job or whatever. I mean, I don't think he's done that, but he has planned. Getting stuff here. Oh, just making sure it's not somebody texting something about the message. We have a plan that he's given us to be part of this eternity that he has given, but it's happened already. Isn't that crazy? It's like Jesus being slain from the foundations of the earth. So even before he went to the cross, he was already slain. He was always the Lamb of God, which is crazy. Okay, let's look at another one. This is Acts 17, 26 through 27. And he has made from one blood every nation and of men to dwell. Oh, of men to dwell on the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord in hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. So this is Paul. He's talking to the Athens group, and they were all like really big philosophy people and scholars and people who had great logical arguments. And he had gone all over the city, and he had been looking at all of their different monuments or idols and of the different gods and everything they had. And they had one inscription on one lone idol or statue, and it said to the unknown God. And he was telling them, listen, this is the God that I'm talking about. This is the one I'm preaching about, is this God, the one who is the unknown God. And guess what? He's made you guys from one blood. What does that mean, one blood? Adam. From one blood, from Adam and Eve, one blood has made every nation, all peoples, and has determined their pre-appointed times. So this is what I'm talking about. You were chosen for this time. You're here because your pre-appointed time is today. Your pre-appointed time is when you were born. And your pre-appointed time is when you're going to die. Some people say, oh, I don't want to get on a flight because I think something's going to happen. Well, the thing is like you have a pre-appointed time. And so if, you know, I've been on flights and they start, years ago, it was like flapping around and stuff. And, aren't you scared? I said, well, if it's my time, it's my time. If it's not, I'm not scared, because what's to be afraid of? And maybe that's what was partly in my heart when I was in the hospital, you know, those 11 days. I'll just tell you really quickly. I was in the hospital because I had thrown a blood clot from a COVID, complication. And I ended up being in there for about 11 days. And there was about a 45-day period from when I got COVID to when the clot developed, and it was in my stomach, and had a third of my stomach removed, or my small intestine. I'm saying that to say that I had a peace about me the whole time. And so maybe it is in my heart. I knew that it was my time. It was going to be my time. If it wasn't, then what's to be worried about? So then if we look at this, it says also the boundaries of their dwellings. What does that mean? That means where you live. You weren't born in Africa, were you? To some Kenyan tribe. You were born here, Yakima, or some were born in other places. Some were born outside the United States, but you were chosen to be where you are, which is pretty cool. This is the Passion Translation from, and I like the way that it phrases it. From one man, Adam, he made every man and woman in every race of humanity, and he spread us all over the earth. He set the boundaries of people and nations, determining their appointed times in history. So the boundaries of people and their nations, and he determined their appointed time in history. And if you look, it's beforehand. So it's not that you know, after you were born, he chose these things. It was before. This is in the mind of God. I know it's hard for us to understand sometimes, but if we're to really get a grasp that we are meant to be here, that we're not just like, oh boy, I was just dropped in this day and how am I going to get through it? You know, just feel like you were, you know, dropped in a crowd of people and it's like, okay, I don't know anybody. I mean, how am I going to get along with anybody? You know, you've been given a responsibility and you were chosen for this time. Like that song says, chosen. I was listening. What's it called? Who You Say I Am? I am chosen. Not just chosen for being in Christ, but chosen to be here in this day. Okay. How are we doing on time, too? By the way, we're doing good. Telling my watch to quit bugging me. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for works, for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. This is like one of my favorite scriptures because it talks about us being God's workmanship, God's handiwork. That we are his one he's manufacturing, he's creating, he's building us, he's forming us. But it's been beforehand. God prepared beforehand. Beforehand what? Before, I believe, the foundations of the earth. God called us. God chose us. I don't know how that works when we didn't necessarily exist, but he chose us to be in Christ, in him. He chose us to live in this day, in him. There's a lot of stuff going on with God. So the reason I wanted to give you those is so that you'd understand that you are here and that you have been given basically a choice of realizing that you're here and that you have a life to live for him. And so this reminded me of this scripture. This is Esther chapter 4, verses 10 through 14. But I'm going to give you a little backstory in case you're not that familiar with the book of Esther. Esther was a young girl, and I don't know exactly how old she was, but I know she wasn't like fully quite of age when she went into basically this program to be the new king for Artaxerxes. What did I say, queen? King. With the king, yeah. Queen, yeah, okay, there we go. Don't want to make this story a 2020 story, yeah. So, but the king, what I was going to say, was it Artaxerxes? Xerxes. It's tough to pronounce. Anyway, he basically got rid of his first wife because she, didn't follow his rules. It's a very submissive type environment. Anyway, so what ended up happening is he says, I want you to gather the young women from my whole kingdom. And I want you to basically put them in this program. And you're going to treat them with like pampering and doing all this stuff to make them beautiful and perfect. And I want you to have each one come to me over like 200 days or something like that every single night. And they would be with the king, and the king would decide whether or not they were going to be his queen. And so Esther found like real amazing favor. And the kind of the guardian of her in this whole program made sure that she got like all the finest stuff. And I mean, she was like, she had favor. She was like singled out. And she was beautiful. And when she went into the king, said, you're the one. So she became the queen. Now, her uncle Mordecai was a Jew. She was a Jew. But he told her, don't tell people that you're a Jew. Just, you know, keep that secret just between you and I. And the reason being is because the Jews were in captivity. They were basically not supposed to be, you know, in the upper echelon. So what ends up happening is that there's this guy named Haman, and he wants to kill the Jews. He has a background from the Amalekites, we believe, and that's a whole nother story in itself. But the Amalekites hate the Jews and want to kill them. So what ends up happening is this Haman says to the king, who's kind of the king's right-hand man, I want you to go ahead and write this edict that says that on this particular day, anyone in any place in your kingdom can kill a Jew. Basically, that's what it says. And the people of wherever this is, I can't remember the name of the kingdom, that they end up saying, where?
Persia.
Persia. Persia ends up saying, hey, you know, we need to have a time of just repentance and crying out to God, and they put sackcloth and ashes on, and they're like wailing before God. This is like the previous, really condensed three chapters, and you know, we've got to make sure that God doesn't allow this to happen. And so Esther catches all the people, or at least catches Mordecai doing this. He says, what's going on? You can't do this. You know, this is like, you got to, you know, this, what's, you know, what's happening? And so this is after, I think, Mordecai has explained to Esther. We'll just start it here. Then Esther spoke to Hadak and gave him a command for Mordecai. All the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces know that any man or woman who goes into the inner court of the king who has not been called has but one law. Put all to death, except the one to whom the king holds out the golden scepter, that he may live. Yet I myself have not been called to go into the king these 30 days. Mordecai had asked her to go in and make a petition to the king for all the Jews. And she's saying, listen, the king hasn't called me. And the edict is, if you're not called, you'll get killed. Remember, a lot of submission here, you know. And so she says, I can't do it. Basically, is kind of what she's inferring. So Mordecai responds. So they told Mordecai Esther's words, and Mordecai told them to answer Esther. Do not think in your heart that you will escape in the king's palace any more than all the other Jews. For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place. But you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. So Esther sends back and says, okay, go tell Mordecai to have all the people fast and pray for 3 days. I'm going to fast and pray, and I'll go before the king. If I die, I die. If I perish, I perish. So what Mordecai said to her definitely rang true. And what he said to her is, don't think that just because the environment's going to go crazy and all the Jews are going to be slaughtered around you, that you're going to escape. And not only that, if you think that and you don't do anything, God will find a solution to this. We will be delivered. So Mordecai is saying, do you want to be part of the plan or do you want to be a bystander? And Esther chooses to be part of the plan. So what am I saying for you today, for us, is that we need to be part of the plan. We're not called to be bystanders. We're not called to let the circumstances around us put us in so much fear that we don't live life, that we don't live a godly life, that we don't live a life in Christ, where his light is shining, where his voice is coming out of us. Like I said, when I heard that individual say, "Well, these are not normal times," immediately in my heart, I said, yeah, but we were made for this. We're made to walk through this kind of stuff. We're made to walk through the fire and not be burned. We're made to walk through the parted Red Sea. We're made to walk over the Jordan after it's been parted. We're made to walk into the Jericho after the angels have crushed the walls. We're made for the promised land. And if the promised land doesn't look like that to us, it doesn't mean it's not a promised land. It just means someone else will take it. I mean, I don't want to be part of a 40-year plan where we're sitting, walking around, waiting for the next crew to come in that can take in whatever God has for us. And we're not called to be survivors. We're called to be conquerors. We're called to be overcomers. We're called to be the ones that when we speak, people listen. Why? Not because, you know, we're some fancy, but because we have the truth in us. And when the truth speaks and people hear it and they're hungry, they listen. And you know what? They don't only listen, they respond. Be ready. Be ready for people to come to you and ask questions. I was giving a testimony to a few people that were here on our Saturday cleanup, and I don't know if I've shared it already, but just 5 minutes with a gentleman who was bringing us pizza. He said, what kind of church is this? What's denomination? I said, we're really kind of non-denominational, even though we're affiliated, but we're part of Grace International. Most people, you know, have never heard of it. And so I said, so do you go to church? And guess this is what he said. No, but I need to find Jesus. Okay. So I told him, I said, well, he's been looking for you, and you know, he's ready for you. And so I asked him his name, and I prayed with him and prayed, you know, for his heart to receive what the Lord had for him and him to find him and find his place in God. And you know, the thing is like, I think that was a testimony of the days that we're living in. Yeah. I know that there's people that are looking for truth. Yeah. What did you say, Tara? Somebody wanted to see the Holy Spirit, wanted to see the presence of God, wanted to experience it, not just words. Yeah. You know, because words, you know, they can be good or bad. With words you can tear down, with words you can lift up. You know, with the tongue you can build a city or you can tear down a city. With the words on a Sunday morning, you can encourage people and challenge them, and you can just put them to sleep. And hopefully, you know, we're not doing that. Hopefully we're going to do the very best we can to be in Christ, be obedient when he asks us to do something, whether it's to have a four-year-old share. You know, and if it's just a little simple thing that he's going to say, because he has said things profound before. And the pineapple as well. But I mean, you know, the thing is that we don't know how God's going to do what he's going to do. And if we come to him with preconceived ideas, we could be sorely disappointed. Because what we end up doing then is missing Jesus. Because that's what the Pharisees and Sadducees did. They missed Jesus. They missed him like as far away as you could. And yet he was as near to them as he could ever be. You don't think we could be like that if we don't keep our hearts in the right place, if we don't keep that childlike faith where we just clamor to grab the mic because I want to say something about Jesus. And then when he gets it, it's like, oh, what am I going to say? What's in your heart, son? So does anyone have anything they want to add to this in there today? Any input? No? Okay. Oh, Myla does. Come on, Myla. You got to stand here, though, because we're actually broadcasting today. Yes.
So in Ephesians, what was it, 2 or 6 there? Not 6, but... Ephesians 2. Yeah, his workmanship. The Greek word there is poemia. And that's where we get our word poem from. So
say that again.
Poemia.
Poemia.
And okay. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it correctly. I'm not a Greek scholar or anything.
I've looked it up before, but I didn't remember. That's good.
Yeah,
so it's where we get our work, what?
It's where we get our word for poem and poetry.
Oh, poetry. Yes, we are his poetry.
So, yeah, we are his poetry. Yeah. And there, I don't remember who said it, but I read somewhere... on someone's commentary about that. And basically, his perspective is that God has created two divine poems. One is creation itself and being appointed for such a time as this, and it's no accident, and it's all his beautiful work of art. We are a part of that work of art. But there's another poem, and that's the poem after we accept his gift of Jesus, and we live and we work through that and walk in that and our sanctification process and where he takes us and what he does with us and where he uses us. So not only are we a part of his grand work of art, but we're a part of his personal work of art for his work, for his kingdom.
Amen.
And that's how much he loves us, you guys. Yeah. Like, how beautiful is that? That we're a part of his artwork.
Right.
Two beautiful divine works of art, expressions from his heart. Yeah.
That's good.
We're poetry in motion.
Yeah. Amen.
Be the work of art that you are and have been created to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Paul had the, audacity to tell the Athenians that he was talking to that even in God, you're living and moving and having your being. So how much more us? How much more us that can live and move and have our being in Christ? Because we are in Christ. We're not just part of that poetry that God created a creation and we're in it. We're now actually in God, in Christ. And he's in us. So nothing should be stopping us. The only thing that's stopping us is ourselves. Well, you say, no, Pastor, it's, you know, it's all the stuff that I've been taught and all those things. Yeah, I mean, that may be the case. But you can step over that or you can lay that at the foot of the cross. You don't have to be bound by what you've known in the past. We can move into our bright new future. Amen? Anyone else? Okay, well, let's get the team up here. And by the way, team, that was amazing worship. I love the heart and just the passion behind it. we thank you that you have chosen us, Lord, that we're your children, Lord, and we're not forsaken, Lord. Father, I pray right now, Lord, that each and every one of us, Lord, would be able to receive what you have for us. They didn't receive it from me today, Lord. That's okay. Holy Spirit, speak to your children. Speak to your children as they sleep. Speak to your children, Lord, as they work. Speak to your children, Lord, as they drive their cars, Lord. I pray as they sit at the dinner table, speak to your children, Lord. Speak to us, Lord, and help us realize, Lord, who we are, who you say we are, not who others say we are, Lord, not who we think we are, Lord, but who you say we are, that we could be, Lord, that difference, Lord, in the world, this world that needs the difference right now. It needs the change. It needs the transforming power of the cross. It needs the resurrection power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we just pray that you would just allow your perfect work, your perfect will to be fulfilled in everyone that's here today and everyone that's listening. Transform this city, Lord. Transform this county, Lord. Transform this state, Lord. Transform this nation, God. Transform the world, Lord. What seems impossible to us, Lord, is not impossible with you. So we pray for supernatural work to take place in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We'll bless you all. Have an amazing day. Love you. Okay. Amen.
Any help, any way, shape, or form you can provide, even if it's just a prayer, that's amazing.
Thank you, bro. That's awesome.